Host Chris James, and we have a great show lined up for you this week, folks. The NFL draft's finally over. It's been a couple of weeks now. In fact, 2 weeks to the day that we got to see the newest members of all 32 NFL rosters. So, what did we learn? We learned that Chicago knows how to throw a party, and they did a great job. Emory was actually in Chicago during the festivities for the NFL draft. So, as he said they did a great job. You can tell people seemed excited about it, and it was time for the change and the move. What else did we learn? We learned that perception, which usually dictates reality, sometimes doesn't. You know, a lot of stuff was going on with that in the first overall pick, and ended up being Jameis Winston, even though there's a lot of quote-unquote controversy flying around the young man. At the end of the day, I think football superseded anything else, any of the other issues that could occur. And what else did we learn? We learned that every year, it never fails. There will be certain teams that will make certain decisions that make you scratch your head. And there'll be other teams that make decisions where you're like, this is why they're consistently in the playoff hunt or in the playoffs. And that's what we learned this week. So what I'm going to do, folks, is today I'm going to give you my overall draft grade for each squad, each NFL team. And along with that, I'm going to also give you something that I liked about the draft, the move that I liked, or what intrigued me about the draft. And each team had something about the draft that I think was a positive. I'm always trying to look at the optimistic point of view. So each team, they put timeless man hours into scouting these guys and making sure they make their organization the best they can. So, like I said, I'm going to pull the positive out of it. Some teams I do have a negative about, not all of them, but you know, something that I might not have liked about the draft, but at the end of the day, it's just my opinion. And what I'm going to do is over the next few weeks, next 2 months or so, I'm going to give my full analysis because, as I stated in the past, each of these guys, no matter what you might think of them, did something and accomplished something that only 250 or so guys get to do each year, and that's be drafted into the NFL draft. Now, some of these guys I have more in-depth knowledge of, you know, the Amari Coopers of the world and the Jameis Winstons, and I'm sure you all do too. Some of these guys, I'll be honest, other than hearing their name, I have no knowledge of. So for me to give a true, full analysis like I want to, I'm going to have to look into these guys. I'm going to have to look them up and really dig in more in-depthly. Because beforehand, you know, I looked at so many players. I looked at upwards of 500 players that I really tried to take a look at. And to guys that I got familiar with, it was around the 250 mark, 300 maybe. I couldn't look at every player who was eligible for the draft. So now that it's complete, what I can do is look into the backgrounds of these guys, try to find as much film as possible, the all 22, you know, and do that. And in that process, I'll be able to give you a more in-depth draft. So this is more of an aggregate overall, my opinion of the draft. And as I do it and get more in-depth over the next few weeks with each of these teams, more intense, you'll see a more full outlook. So that's how I'm going to do it. And remember, folks, if you ever want to participate in the show, that call-in number is 323-657-1489. That's 323-657-1489. We're going to go ahead and jump into it and get it going. So we're going to start alphabetical order as usual when assessing all the teams. We're going to go with the Arizona Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals, you know, they played some good football last year. They got hit with the injury bug, and the injury bug caused their quarterback to go down. And then you saw how important a quarterback can be to a team, because even with a guy who, yes, I think Carson Palmer's at the end of his rope, you saw how much better they looked with him than with some of the other guys who came in and just looked lost. So they had some things to address and some things to take care of. And as always, they were looking for certain positions to address. So they had a few picks in this draft. They ended up with 7 that they made selections. And the thing I liked, the move I liked, I actually liked the picking of David Johnson, who some said may have to make the move to fullback to be successful, and that's a possibility. He may have to make that move, but you know, getting him in the third round, I think that he is the type of runner that Bruce Arians likes, that one-cut guy who can get up the field and also receive the ball out of the backfield with a bigger body style. That should fit well into the blocking scheme that the Arizona Cardinals use and should definitely be a positive for that roster. Now, the move that I didn't like the J.J. Nelson selection. I remember saying on my show, once he ran a 4.29 at the combine, someone was going to pick him in the draft. And part of me understands, you know, you're always intrigued with speed, but I've had this debate with some of my contemporaries, and I don't care how fast you are on a track. It does not matter. And they've said, you know, speed can't be taught. I don't give two craps about your speed. In fact, your speed means about as much to me as crap in my left hand. If you don't utilize it on the football field correctly, then I can't do anything with you. The reason that I'm saying this is because while J.J. Nelson is extremely fast, and I think he's a quality return man, I don't know where he fits and if he even makes the roster. So I don't know why you use a fifth-round pick on a guy who probably won't make the roster. You know, you can say he's going to specialize a return man, but they have John Brown. They have other return specialists on this squad. So where does he fit? That's why I didn't like the selection. If he was going to a team that Jeff desperately needed a return specialist, and that's all, and they had a roster spot for him, kudos, but didn't fit, especially here on this Cardinals roster. So I gave them a C-plus as an overall grade. I think that they did an okay job trying to address at least what they were going for. They touched on getting an offensive lineman or two, the defensive line, which has had some issues, and they got a running back to kind of complement the speed and acceleration of an Andre Ellington. They did struggle running the ball at the end of last year. I thought Stephon Taylor was going to step up, and he didn't do the job as well as I expected. All right, moving on to the next team, the Atlanta Falcons. And Atlanta definitely made some moves that I was impressed with. The thing I was most impressed with Atlanta was two of their picks. I liked the Justin Hardy pick, getting Justin Hardy in the fourth round. And I like the Vic Beasley pick, getting him at 8 overall. Reason being, I think that both guys are going to be instant contributors as rookies. Justin Hardy will nicely replace Harry Douglas and will be an effective force. I like this kid as a receiver. I think he's a clean prospect, catches the ball very well, faster than you would think, especially in pads. And then you look at Vic Beasley, all he did was get into the quarterback and get in the backfield. Things that I did not like about this draft. I did not like the Jalen Collins selection at LSU. Again, I've probably watched more Jalen Collins than the average person, considering the fact that I've watched, on average, 8 or 9 LSU games each year for the last whatever. Okay? Last year, I think I watched 11 LSU games. I've watched Jalen Collins. Jalen Collins does not have the ball skills to play press corner, and he does not have the footwork to do so. He has elite athleticism, which allows him to get back in plays, kind of like D'Angelo Hall used to do. I can't bank on that, especially if you're going to get beat consistently. Theroux Simon was the same way. So, picking him in the second round is not a good selection for Atlanta, in my opinion. But he is big, fast, and strong, and I hope that he's able to be successful. I just don't see it for a second-round selection. So overall, I gave Atlanta a B on their grade. I thought that they did help themselves out, and I know what their approach was. Getting a big back like Tevin Coleman, he might not be high on my board, but I understand why they did what they did there as well and some of the moves that they made. So we're going to move on to the Baltimore Ravens. Now, the Baltimore Ravens are known for being a team that just kind of gets lucky and lucks up into picks and things like that. And, you know, at the end of the day, luck isn't determined by just being lucky, from a position to be lucky. So that's why they end up doing that. So things that I liked. I liked the fact that they got Carl Davis in this draft out of Iowa. But the main thing I liked in this draft is that they let the board speak to them. Whatever the board said is what they did. picking Max Williams where they did. They felt a value there for a guy who can come in and they feel like he can play that tight end that splits out. Getting guys like Darren Waller late in the draft. Just getting guys that fit what they want to do. Getting Buck Allen in the fourth round. So I was impressed with them letting the board speak to them. What I didn't like in his draft, and I'll say it like this. I did not like the drafting of Breshad Perriman out of UCF. I think they made the right move for them because they were looking for a big, fast receiver. They've had luck with a guy who is very similar in Torrey Smith. So they picked Perriman, and he's got athleticism. It's crazy. But when I'm picking a receiver in the first round, I want him to be a cleaner prospect than this. I think he has quite a few flaws in his game, you know, transitioning, not being a pure hand catcher, just different things. He double catches the ball. Those are things that can be fixed. Torrey Smith had the same issues, and he's been successful in the NFL. So I think they feel that they can improve that form. They took him there, I understand, but I wouldn't have. And because they stuck to the board and they did so well with that, I gave them a B+ as a grade for this draft. Up next, the Buffalo Bills. Now, the Buffalo Bills, they've been stockloading talent and making moves to try to become a better team for years, and their issue has been at quarterback. So let's see what they did to try to address that this draft. So they didn't have a first-round pick. They started in the second round with the 50th overall pick. And I'll start with what I liked. The moves I liked were the back half of the draft. Their back half of their draft to me was excellent. Getting Tony Stewart, who is a tackling machine out of Clemson. Getting Nick O'Leary, who is my number one tight end, and I think is a guy who can be an H-back. He can actually, in a lot of situations, especially the type of offense they use, he can block at the point of attack. If they're not expecting him to be some sort of drive blocker and he just needs to, you know, do different things, wham block, he's got enough skill where he's a good enough blocker that he could be successful in this scheme. And also Desmond Lewis, who I think fits nicely into their receiving core. Things I didn't like in this draft. One selection that stood out to me, Ronald Darby in the second round. Reminds me when they took Ron Brooks, I think, in the third round, and I just went, you're just drafting a guy because he's fast. Maybe you're confused by the braids coming out of the helmet. Makes him look even better than he's playing. Ronald Darby, to me, just doesn't – he lacks that consistency of tracking the ball in the air, and that's the problem. He is more of a corner to me than P.J. Williams was. I think P.J. Williams would have been an excellent safety. But Ronald Darby still, as I looked at him more and more, he had a lot of Ron Brooks to his game. But overall, even though that selection happened, I understand why they took him. And I think that from the aspect that they got better by their additions, I gave them a B. I see what they were trying to do, and they kind of stuck to it, and good for them. All right, so we're going to move on to the Carolina Panthers. Now, the Panthers are a team that they've seemed to have been saddled with no picks over the last 4 years. They've had no more than 7 picks in any of the last 4 years. It's crazy. This year, they only had 5 that they made. So let's see what they did that helped their team be successful. Now, what I liked, the move of getting Shaq Thompson, the outside linebacker safety hybrid out of Washington, ranked pretty highly on my board and some of the other people from Football Game Plan's boards. I just think that Shaq Thompson is one of those guys that's versatile. You can put him in different positions. When you face a team like the Patriots that likes to split out a guy like Rob Gronkowski or split out a guy and single him up or split out a guy like Shane Vereen, you can use this guy and he can go cover them. You won't have yourself in a position where you're getting abused. And I'm not saying he would shut down Gronkowski or anything like that. Folks, never use my words against me unless it's something I actually said. I'm saying that it would be good enough to match up with guys like him or Jimmy Graham or things like that. And he can play in the box and be fine. And I think he's a good enough guy to play over the tight end as a left outside linebacker, that Sam backer for you. Things I didn't like. I didn't like the David Mayo selection, inside linebacker from Texas State. My problem is not with the player himself, but it's with the selection, because where is he going to fit? Where is he going to play? I don't believe in drafting guys to fill holes unless you don't have other holes to fill. So if you're drafting for depth at the linebacker level, which you didn't need, when you need offensive line depth, I have a problem with that. So overall for this draft, I gave them a B-. I just thought that they did get some players that can help, but I didn't think that they utilized their situation well enough to really tempt me into giving them a higher grade. Chicago Bears are up next. Now, Chicago, to me, they're in trouble with Jay Cutler, this, that, and the other. But let's be honest. I'm going to say right now, Chicago had a doggone draft, folks. You know, they only had six selections, but I'll tell you what I liked. I liked their entire draft. I liked every draft pick that they made. And I have very little negative to say about it. So, from Kevin White to Eddie Goldman to Renas Grasu, Jeremy Langford being a good backup field guy who can get some play time for Matt Forte, who seems to go down at least once every three games. Adrian Amos back there getting a center fielder. And Tail Fabuli out of TCU. Here's the only thing I didn't like, and it's nitpicking at this point. Parker, Devontae Parker, who was still on the board, would have been a better fit to me playing the X opposite of Alshon Jeffrey. But now you have two Z receivers. It's fine. They're both athletic freaks. One's a blazer in White, and the other one is a tracking the ball in the air specialist in Alshon Jeffrey. So I gave them an A-. If they would have gotten Devontae Parker, it would have probably been an A-plus draft. I think they did a great job in assessing talent and taking guys that will fit their team and what they need to do. So Cincinnati Bengals are up next. And looking at what the Bengals did this year in the draft, I've given them high grades each year for the last 3 years or so. This will probably be the fourth year where I give them another high grade. And what they do is they addressed everything they needed to. You know, they really knew that they needed to take care of that offensive line in front of a guy who, though I don't think he's the guy, I think that they know protecting whatever quarterback is back there makes it easier for him. Remember, Ryan Fitzpatrick, when he was protected with the Bills, did a pretty good job. And even with the Texans, did a pretty good job, enough to where they paid him, I still don't understand, paid him a bunch of money with the Bills. So protecting any guy gets you. Thing I like the most is they seem to get value everywhere. Four of their first five picks could be starters. You know, I look at a guy like Cedric Abouye. He could be a starter. Jake Fisher could push for a starting position. Tyler Croft can contribute. Paul Dawson could start in that linebacking core. And Josh Shaw might be the best press corner on that team, and he hasn't even really set foot. He hasn't played a game with them yet. Now, what I didn't like was the C.J. Uzomah pick, tight end out of Auburn. The reason I didn't like it is because now you have like five tight ends on your roster. And they took this young man in the fifth round. Again, to me, that's a wasted pick because you have other things you could do. You could address that secondary even more and get another corner. But they took him, and to me, it's sad because he's probably not going to make the roster because you'll have too many tight ends. They're not going to carry five tight ends. Even if they move him to fullback, they're not going to carry him on their roster. It's just a weird move to me. So I gave them an A- because I think they got great value. I think they did a lot of smart things. That was the only one that irked me, not because of the player being insufficient, but because he doesn't fit what they want to do, and he's probably not going to make the roster at this point. The Cleveland Browns are up next, and I'm going to say right now, folks, they won. The Cleveland Browns, you never hear anyone say this because Cleveland doesn't win anything until possibly this year with LeBron, but that's neither here nor there. Folks, straight up. I think Cleveland established the most value of any team in the draft this year at each position that they picked. They played the draft like they were drafting in Madden. I'll just say it straight up. It was ridiculous. There was nothing about their draft that didn't look. And that's why I gave them a grade of an A+. I'm going to go through Danny Shelton, taking him, a guy who, I mean, he's going to work, and he's going to play that nose tackle like they need him to play and be excellent for two downs and give them what they need, and he's going to be a run stuffer. You get Cam Irving, who can play any of those five offensive line positions, another guy who's also a heady individual who won't give you any trouble. You get Nate Orchard, who might be the best edge rusher behind Vic Beasley in this class, and you got him in the second round. You get Duke Johnson as a running back. You had two guys who could kind of pound the rock in Isaiah Crowell and in Terrence West, but you bring in another guy, now a slasher, who can be that change of back guy. You have Xavier Cooper out of Washington State. Now, some may say he was drafted too highly. I think that he's an active guy who can play the one or the five even in this particular defense. Campbell out of Northwestern. They get a ball hawking safety back there. Vince Mayall out of Washington State. One of the most underrated receivers in this class. Straight up baller. Charles Gaines, cornerback out of Louisville. One of my top 10 corners. I thought the guy had great ball skills, and he might hit the field before a guy named Justin Gilbert at this point. Malcolm Johnson out of Mississippi State, tight end. Only guy where it doesn't really fit as much, but I understand what they were trying to do. They're trying to get active, athletic guys who also can block to play tight end because they came back with Randall Telfair out of USC. And you get Hayes Pillard, who can play the interior linebacker position. And they finished up with drafting a guy who's coming off an ACL tear who could be a steal of the draft, an Ifo Ekpe-Olamu, on-ball defender. This was a win. Like, this was a win-win. That's why they get an A+. Moving on to a team that might have the worst draft grade in my class this year, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys had some wins. They had some big wins, but I think they had some huge losses to go along with their big wins. It seems like the Cowboys draft three times in the seventh round every year recently. They had 8 picks this year. 3 of them were in the seventh round. But let's kind of go through why I think the Cowboys won and lost. They won because of the Big Ten. They drafted 2 defensive ends out of the Big Ten, Randy Gregory and Ryan Russell, who both have their own skill sets. You know what Gregory can do. He fell because of the fact that Randy Gregory doesn't understand the concept of having to deal with other people. Apparently, he just doesn't get it. You have to eventually deal with other people. You can't just use your talent. And Ryan Russell, he brings some ability to the system. Things I didn't like. Chaz Green and Byron Jones. Byron Jones shouldn't have been picked in the first round, in my opinion. He had the greatest broad jump of all time. Who the heck cares? Decent ball skills, but he's not a first-round pick. And then what made it worse was at least he should have been drafted. I don't think Chaz Green, even if you – I didn't give him a draftable grade watching him at Florida. Even if you did draft him, why did you draft him where you drafted him? What is he going to do on your team? Do you think he's actually going to start for you or even challenge for a starting position? So I gave the Cowboys a C- because they didn't address some of the issues they needed to. The big one to address, the huge hole in the middle. Okay? D-tackle. They didn't get a D-tackle. They had all these reach picks and didn't get a D-tackle with Carl Davis sitting on the board there. This is just silly. That's why the Cowboys get a C-, which may be my lowest grade of the year. So let's fly through these. The Denver Broncos are up next. Now, the Denver Broncos, I think, did a pretty good job. The thing that I like the most about their draft is they saw their guy, they went up and got him in Shane Ray. And the 23rd pick they moved up to. And that will be very effective for a team that they just want to get a pass rush on you. The thing that I didn't like was they selected too many guys from the secondary. They took multiple corners and safeties, and to me, that wasn't where they had a need. So all in all, and they did take another quarterback. It seems every year they take a quarterback at some point. Trevor Simmons out of Northwestern. B- on this draft. I think the Shane Ray move definitely improved things. And I think, you know, Tyler Sobrato, picks like that, Jeff Herman, even the Max Garcia pick. And though they picked a lot of secondary guys, Lorenzo Doss is still in the fifth round, but, you know, too many secondary players, and there wasn't really a need for that. The Detroit Lions are up next. The Detroit Lions, what I liked about their draft is, first off, everyone always expects Detroit to go with a fringe guy. And Detroit said, I don't care what you say. We know how you win games, and winning games is on the interior. So they went with Lincoln Tomlinson, the guard, and then I liked the Amir Abdullah pick in the second round. They came back with 2 things to help out Matt Stafford. I didn't dislike any of their picks this year. I actually thought that everything made sense. The Alex Carter pick made sense, even though I think there was better corners. I think it made sense for what they're going to try to do with him, putting him on the field side. Gabe Wright's an active interior lineman. They got him a little later in the draft. Quandre Diggs, Michael Burton will be helpful in the blocking scheme since they're probably going to use more I form and situational football like that this year, and even the Corey Robinson pick in the seventh round. I gave them a B-plus because I think they got better with all their selections. The Green Bay Packers are up next. Thing I like the most about the Green Bay Packers draft, I thought that they did a great job getting a guy who could eventually replace, or in the short term, because he does seem to get injured each year now, replace Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers seems to go down every year, and their backup quarterback comes in and just is awful. So the getting Brett Huntley was huge. And they got him in the steal in the fifth round. Thing I didn't like, Demarius Randall in the first round, safety out of Arizona State. You know, he's not a bad player, but he went way too early, especially for a position where they have a guy already in high Clinton Dix. To me, it made more sense to go and get his compadre in Landon Collins and have that 1-2 punch. But that's just me. Overall, I gave them a C+. I liked some of the moves they made, but in general, I didn't like the moves the Packers made. I thought that they made some reach moves. Some guys did help, but I just didn't like the makeup of their draft. I thought that they went in a direction that was a little different from what I expected. Another guy who's very helpful is Ty Montgomery, going where he went. Houston Texans are up next. Now, Houston, I actually like some of the stuff they did. The thing I like the most about their draft is, to me, the first three picks for Houston will probably start. Kevin Johnson at corner, Bernard McKinley at inside linebacker, and Jalen Strong at wide receiver replacing Andre Johnson. The thing I didn't like about their draft was the following. Keith Mumphrey. Think that he's a good receiver. My biggest issue was that they went with him that early with Trey McBride still on the board. If you're able to bring in a Jalen Strong, you have DeAndre Hopkins. You bring in a Trey McBride as your number three instead of Mumphrey, because to me, Trey McBride's upside's higher. And to me, from what I saw, he was just more aggressive attacking the football. He was just a little better with it. And I like that. So overall, I gave the Houston Texans a B on their grade. I thought that they did a good job and snagged some good talent for them to be successful this year. Look, they're just a little outside. If Ryan Mallett can be healthy this year, they could win that division and steal it from the Indianapolis Colts. Speaking of which, the Indianapolis Colts are up next. And they did some stuff that I liked. They addressed the D-line. Give them kudos for that. Going with guys like Henry Anderson and also David Perry, who's probably going to play that nose. I like the fact they did that. What I didn't like the Philip Dorsett pick. Not because he's not a blazer or whatever, but you're going with him in the first round, he's going to fit. Who is he going to replace? You know, you're going to have Moncrief out there. You're going to have T.Y. Hilton. Where is he going to go? So I know getting speed on the field, speed kills, but come on. And also, some of the guys just didn't seem to be, they weren't exciting picks to me, or picks that seemed to help the team that much. So I gave them a C as a grade. Sticking in that division, the Jacksonville Jaguars are up next. Now, Jacksonville has drafted very well. The only pick I didn't like, and it was because he went in the number three overall instead of in the third round where I thought he should go, Blake Bortles. This year they did a similar thing. A guy who I think had the talent to go higher or go in this range, but he didn't fit the scheme, especially when you have a guy like Vic Beasley on the board. So I liked them picking T.J. Yeldon and, you know, strengthening that offense, giving more protection to Bortles, and getting a running back who will probably be their starter by week four. And then the thing I didn't like was the Dante Fowler Jr. pick. Again, I think they should have traded back, pick up more selections to fill that roster, or taking the best player available. They went with Fowler Jr. He didn't even have the opportunity to prove whether he was going to have a great rookie season or a great one or a bad one because he tore his ACL. It's very unfortunate, and I wish that young man a speedy recovery. But I gave him a B. I I thought they did a pretty good job of snagging selections, as they did last year as well. So Jacksonville for drafting well, that's how you get better. You get better as you keep filling up with talent. Eventually, you'll catch on. Kansas City Chiefs are up next. Thing I like about the Kansas City draft, I mean, very straightforward with this, Marcus Peters, getting a guy who's a long press corner who can do the job and probably will start from day one. Thing I didn't like, Mitch Morris pick, the guard. I understand they did it, picking at that position, but I don't understand this player at that spot. Seeing him in the second round, it just didn't seem to make sense to me. We work with him. And, you know, something I don't. On play a little bit, but I was less familiar with him since I wasn't much attention to him. I gave them a plus because of that. They tried certain things and things they hit on, but they miss on some as well. A lot of teams try to get. The Miami Dolphins are up next. The Dolphins, I thought they did a good job. I like their pick. I don't know. He will start this upcoming season. I like the Tony pick because to me it doesn't make sense to a guy. Yes, he played corner in college and he should be fine, blah, blah, blah. There's a reason he was a receiver. We'll see if he transitions. If he doesn't, it just makes me leery to do something like that. So I did give them a B because I thought they picks. The Jay Ajayi pick is a huge one in my opinion. Getting him in the fifth round should be very helpful for that team. Moving on to the Minnesota Vikings. And the Vikings, I like the fact they went O-line D-line. They actually took three offensive linemen, Tyrus Thompson, taking Austin Shepherd out of Alabama. And then they went with the defensive lineman, Evan Robinson, taking B.J. DuBose and taking Danielle Hunter. You know, just taking care of both lines, knowing that that's effective and it'll help the team. The pick I didn't like, and I mean, it's not a pick, the Trey Wayans pick. I just thought that they kind of panicked after Gurley wasn't on the board for him. I think that's who they're shooting for. But overall, they did a good job in the draft. I gave him a B plus. I thought they did a good talent getting it in. And that was the only contention I had. It's not even a big deal. I think they still got a good player in Trey Wayans. Patriots are up next. In New England, everyone always says, oh, they make all these good deals and whatnot. I like the fact they went with the offensive lineman. They went to try to protect front. They went with Shaq Mason. They went with Jackson. The thing that I did not like was the Jordan Rich pick. He got a Stanford. Thought it was early to pick him there. 64 overall. We'll see if it works out. The only issue I had, I gave it a solid, I think, snagging a guy like Malcolm Brown, who just felt is huge to them. And I think that this will move their organization forward because they get selections like that. And if Dominic Easley ever gets it going, that's a good combo in the middle. So, to me, people think I'm being a home, but I like that. He was huge. Seeing Dan Swan in the fifth round. Two guys who had skill and had Corey Williams. The other one had footwork in an underrated corner in Dan Swan. Now, what I didn't like was Grayson's selection out of Colorado State. You know, he is a solid quarterback, but to me, this is way too high for a guy who won tribute to use, and also I'm that high on my board. There were quarterbacks ahead had rather than him that he's already going to be 24 this upcoming season. That's not going to spell success if he's coming off the bench to be the starter in 3 years. It's just going to be weird. I did the same thing. The main thing I gave that is what they did. They attacked offensive line and the second, also the linebacker level. They knew that they needed to get pass rushers. Davis Toll. Halua Ka'aha, out of Washington, doing that. And then the Marcus Murphy selection around, I think that's a sneaky pick for a guy who can help kind of play, no, I'm not calling him Darren Sproles, but the Darren Sproles role. Watch out I think he's very helpful on their offense. So going to the Big Apple, we go to the New York Giants. The Giants only had a few selections this year with six. Let's see what they were able to do in making things happen. Now, I like the Landon Collins move. I think that moving up to get Landon Collins was huge for Sorry about that, folks. We're going to try to get this back and going. Having a few thunderstorms down here in Tampa, and maybe that's the issue. A little tech issue got knocked off the air. But I didn't have any issues with the Giants draft. I actually had no negatives to say about them. I gave them a B-plus on the draft. Some of the guys I weren't as familiar with, they might have a higher grade when I'm all said and done. But just looking at it, I think that they made moves to try to improve areas that they needed to improve. Sticking in New York, we go to the New York Jets. Now, the Jets are an interesting team. My friend Raphael actually asked about what I thought about the Jets draft. And here's what I really liked. Front seven was addressed on defense. You know, taking care of getting Lorenzo Malden in there, Leonard Williams, which was an interesting pick, and even Deion Simon. Really taking care of that interior, making sure that little triangle is well-stocked. Thing I didn't like about the draft, nothing. I didn't dislike anything about their draft. Even the Bryce Petty selection in the fourth round, I think that it's good to get another young guy in there to give Geno Smith some competition. It's good to do so. Nothing's wrong with competition, especially getting him in the fourth round. Though Bryce Petty, to me, is not a quarterback who will be the go-to guy, he might be. And this in the fifth round area, and that he can be good competition for Geno, who really should blossom this year with the additions they've made. So they got a B-plus on the draft. Oakland Raiders are up next. And the Oakland Raiders had quite a few selections, and Oakland pulled to Oakland this year. They did the same thing last year. First three picks to me are great. I think they all could start. Clive Walford can contribute immediately. Mario Edwards Jr. can contribute. And Amari Cooper will be the starting X receiver by midseason. Things I didn't like. This sounds very, very anti-Gator, but the University of Florida selections. I think the Nyren Bell and the Andre Dubose selections, good for them. I'm glad they got drafted. But to me, they're both specialists. They're one-trick ponies. And I don't think they'll help the Raiders as much as they could. I don't know if Bell's going to even make the roster. Dubose will likely because he is a very talented return man that specializes in it and is extremely good at it. So overall, I give them a B- for the draft. I think they did a good enough job, but it wasn't great. Philadelphia is now up. I like the Nelson Aguilar pick. I thought that was a good one for them. He instantly provides them with a presence that is necessary. My issue was there was too many secondary players, like too many corners, taking three corners off the board. I think it could come back to haunt them. I think they didn't really address what they needed to. And also getting a chase and tackle guy like Jordan Hicks really wasn't as helpful. All in all, I gave him a C-plus on the grade. I didn't vibe well with what Chip was pulling down, but let's see if Chip can put down something this season. Sticking in that same state, we go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, Pittsburgh is interesting. I like the Cinquez Golson pick because Cinquez Golson, as a defensive back, he can play any of the spots because of the ball skill he has. Don't let the size fool you. I didn't like the Bud Dupree selection, and it's not because Bud Dupree's not a good player. I would have taken him on the Saints with no problem. It's that Shane Ray was still on the board, and he fits what Pittsburgh wants a little bit more. I think that the obvious thing was the marijuana issue that made him slide down boards. I gave them a B overall. I think they did a solid job and really took care of what they wanted to address in this draft. But, you know, that first pick, I think they could have gone another direction. San Diego Chargers up next. And what I really liked about the San Diego draft was their first two picks. I love the Melvin Gordon pick and really love the Denzel Perryman pick. I think those are two guys who will be impact players as rookies. I didn't dislike any of the five selections that they had in this draft. I thought that all the guys made them better. Craig Mager, out of Texas State. I actually like the way he plays. Kyle Emanuel out of North Dakota State. And Darius Faylon is a very active defensive tackle. I gave them an A-. Some people might disagree with me, but I think all five players will contribute to this team next year. San Francisco's up next, and this is an interesting one. Sticking in the same state, I have a different opinion about San Francisco. Thing that I did like and give him credit for, the Blake Bell selection. He's going to help out at the tight end spot, but also I think it's short yardage as a quarterback who's going to be a bulldozer. They'll use him as the belldozer, I think, more than they want to admit. The thing I did not like was the Eric Armstead selection or a lot of other selections. I think that more than any other team, they overdrafted. A lot of these guys were ranked a round or two or even three lower than they got drafted, and that's the problem. So overall, I understood what San Francisco in theory was trying to do, but I couldn't give them a quality grade. I gave them a C plus. We look to Seattle now, and the Seattle Seahawks, obviously they know what they're doing. You know, I gave them a C-, I believe, back in the day in the Russell Wilson draft. I gave them a C. I like the Wilson pick. I like the Wagner pick, but some of the other picks I was confused on, including the J.R. Sweezy pick. But this year, I like the Ty Smith pick, a corner. I think that he's an instant contributor and can do a good job, but I did not like the Frank Clark pick. He's an active player, but I thought he was picked way too high, especially with all the issues going on with him. So I gave them a C on the grade. We're going to move on pretty quickly to the St. Louis Rams in the same division. Excellent draft by the Rams. Todd Gurley was my favorite portion of their draft. Getting him, take the best player for the best value. The only thing I questioned was the Sean Mannion selection, but I think he fits what Jeff Fisher wants. I just had him ranked much lower, so I'm not too mad at it. I actually gave them an A because I think they accomplished what they wanted to, and they got good players at every pick. Even the Sean Mannion pick made sense for what Jeff Fisher wants. Tampa Bay's up next. What I liked about this was the addressing of the offensive line, going high and getting guys like Donovan Smith and Ali Marpet. I didn't dislike any of their picks. I actually think Tampa Bay did a good job with their draft selections, getting Quan Alexander, guys like Kenny Bell, who can come in and fit. So I give them a B-plus in this draft. Tennessee's up next, and Tennessee was an interesting one. Thing I liked most about Tennessee's draft was the Trey McBride selection. I think they got a steal in the 7th round with McBride. Marcus Mariota was what I didn't like because I don't understand why you go with 1A and 1B. I think Mettenberger could have been their player of the future. Overall, I gave them a B- because I know what they were trying to do, and they pulled it off kind of okay. And the last but not least, Washington Redskins. Thing I liked most about the Redskins pick was getting the ball hawk and Kayshon Jarrett out of Virginia Tech. I disliked the Matt Jones selection. They overvalued quite a few guys, and because of that, I gave them a C grade. They took a lot of guys much higher than I thought they should have gone. And that was the issue, including Evan Spencer and even Brandon Scherff at the 5th pick. Well, folks, that's all the teams. Next week, I'm going to start going more in-depth with the teams. Remember, if you ever want to call on the show, it's 323-657-1489. This is Chris James signing off for the Football Game Plan Radio Network. Enjoy your weekend, folks, and I'll see you next week.